Good morning, Bay City. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians and he says, but thank God he has made us his captives and he continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. And our friends, if you are a Christ follower, if you have experienced the saving knowledge of Jesus, then the very purpose of your life is to love him with all of your heart and to make him known. And we have just the privilege of having Chantal with us this morning. Last year, you know that from this church, teams have come and gone. We have traveled to other nations. You would have heard report backs during 2017. And it's a real joy to start 2018 by seeing what's been going on in Chantal's life and in another nation. She is from Bali. We'll chat about that just now, but maybe you can take a seat, make yourself comfortable, Chantal. Whoops, while I busy lose my transmitter here. Okay, so about Chantal, let's just give you a little nothing embarrassing. I can see she's sort of, what are you going to tell people? Chantal was a member of Bay City Church for a number of years before she left to go to Asia. And she really grew up in this house. And it has been an absolute joy to walk this journey with her. She's been part of the community, served in numerous ways. But she has a special place in our family. Yes, thank you. The hand. Oh, thanks, love. Is that better, guys? Not only are my ears small, but I found out this mic doesn't like makeup because the tape won't stick to your face. So, ladies, okay. If you want me to swap over, Matt, that's cool. All right. So, Chantal has a special place in our home because when Nick and I started to travel, does it seem okay? And Chantal would move in and be their big sister. So it was always a great relief to us to know that she was holding down the fort at home. To this day, the kids still actually argue as to who was looking after who. Okay, let's try this mic again. Perfect. All right, we're just going to play a quick clip so that we can all have a window into what Chantal has been up to and what she is busy with currently. Thanks, Shelley.
Heavy on your heart, heavy on your mind, wandering the streets tonight. If you're looking for a home, you are not alone. I can be your guide and light, 'cause I promise. Thank you.
Right, well, that's given us a visual. Now let's do some talking and find out from you, Chantel. To begin with, give us a brief update and perhaps a timeline on where you've been since leaving South Africa 2 years ago.
So I left September 2015 on my journey to Hong Kong to go and teach for a year and 5 months in a learning center. And then I went to Bali. I've been in Bali since last year, February. So this February will be a year.
Now, you didn't just wake up one day, pack up, and leave. Perhaps you can share a little bit about the heart's desire that you had and even the prophetic stirring that actually began years before you left.
I would say if I look back, in high school was the first time I felt Jesus really put a burden on my heart that people needed to know about Jesus and not only know about him but know that he loved them. So he gave me opportunities to be able to speak in my assembly and on the local bus to school. And then from there, I really, I made wrong choices and I was in a dark place. And in that time, though, God used a man from another nation to prophetically stir a word within me about the nations, that God is going to send me to the nations. And that was confirmed through another guy in another church, also confirming the same word, not knowing the other pastor, not knowing me, and also confirming that God was going to send me to the nations. And at that present moment, that church wasn't actually going into the nations. And because I wasn't in a good place, that word that God stirred in me stirred hope and purpose and propelled me to get myself out of that situation. And God was in it all. He brought Jono into my life as a friend through university, and he brought me to Bay City. And I was like, wow, this is a church that goes to the nations. And I had no idea what that even meant. But I knew that having the word at the back of my mind, I knew I needed to do something. So I made myself available and positioned myself and said, okay, I'm going to go to the first trip that Nick will allow me and Shink will allow me to go on. And it was just before the border of Lesotho, a group of us went, and we stayed there in that, I think it was Maseru, am I right? No.
Maseru's in Lesotho,
but yes, it was close to Maseru. It was close to Maseru. And that was amazing. And there it just confirmed to me that this is what I want to be doing. And yeah, that's where it all started.
So from Lesotho to Hong Kong. Isn't it amazing how God works? God took you to Hong Kong with that desire in your heart, and initially it was teaching there, and that orientated you well into Asia. Yes. Perhaps you can just tell us a little bit about the link from teaching in Hong Kong to actually ending up in full-time missionary work in Bali.
Okay, so right, so going to Hong Kong, Chantal and Grant Coley know a couple in Hong Kong that they're very good friends with. And so it was number one on my list when I arrived in Hong Kong to get linked into a church. That was something that I valued. And so as I went there, the first day I went, I was like, okay, what outreaches do you have? I want to be involved. I want to honor God in what I'm doing in Hong Kong. And it was and then they had lots of outreaches, and the one that stood out to me was in the red light district of Hong Kong called Sons and Daughters, where I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. So what's quite amazing, and it's God's timing, my first night training on the street with the team was my now current boss's last night. And if I had been a month later or earlier, I would have missed her. So that was God. And we were on the street talking, and she shared with me her heart and what she's doing. And I remember thinking, I can see myself doing what she's doing. And then immediately she said, can we have coffee? And I was freaked out. And I was like, did you just like read my mind? But not knowing, she told me afterwards, when I was talking to her, God gave her the word destiny. And she knew that we need to get to know each other. And then so I got to know her over coffee, shared my life with her. And she said, Chance, I want you to be part of our team. And it took me 6 months. I prayed about it, spoke to the leadership in Bay City and various friends. And then I said, this is it. And I felt God say to me, Chantel, what's important to you? And I said, this is. What's important to you, Jesus, is important to me. And I said, I'm going to do it. So I said to her, yes, I'm going to be part of your team. And then she's like, oh, and by the way, we're moving to Bali. And then I was like, I don't know where that is, but I'm going to do it. And yeah, and that's how I ended up in Bali with the Wings team.
What really strikes us is just as you threw yourself into the involvement of the kingdom in Hong Kong and just got partnering with other believers, how God steers us and actually threads his purpose through our lives. There's a saying that says, you cannot steer a ship that stays in the harbor. And so when we go into the open waters and we put our faith to work, it is amazing how God steers. And that's so evident in your story. So we've seen some pictures of the work and some beautiful children, beautiful team members as well, I might add. But perhaps you can just tell us what exactly Wings International does, what is the vision, and how does the shape and the form of that vision happen?
Okay. Oh, this is the best part. Mm-hmm. So Wings International, so our heart and our everyday mission is to give shoes to kids to run, which is the physical aspect of the every basic needs, basically your education, your schooling, which is the same thing, sorry, and your clothing and your food. And then the spiritual aspect is to give children wings to fly in God, their identity, their purpose, that God loves them, God has given them something that they can use, and that he has called them. And so how it looks for Wings, I can tell you how 2017 looked. So last year, for the first 6 months, we based in Bali, but for the first 6 months, we didn't go anywhere. And so my leader, Becky, she noticed when she went in November that there were children in the streets walking around and selling bracelets. And so when we all came together as a team in Bali, it's in the south of Bali. It's a district where there are a lot of clubs, a lot of massage parlors. And so we started befriending these children and the mothers. And we would spend time with them once a week, take them on the beach. We would allow them to be children because they are out selling bracelets from 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning. They've been taken out of school, ages from 3 to 15. And so we would allow them to be children, play. Then we would have a meal with them. We would share them a message about Jesus. And then it would be an hour. So we grew to know them. Relationship, the mothers could trust us. Sometimes the mothers wouldn't come and they would just allow their children to join us. And then we started asking questions, why are you here? Why are you not in school? And then that took us to take a trip north of Bali. And now north of Bali is their village. It's called Tianyar. And in that village, it's very, very dry. And so also these moms and the children, they're Hindu. And so they are, when they have a funeral, for instance, they're in debt to the temple. And so they have to pay money to the temple. So that causes them to take their children out of school and to go to the south of Bali to work. Mm. And the heart behind that is also that if they're not cute enough, they go into the massage parlors. If they if an Australian guy likes them, they try and marry them off to an Australian. And so we saw this, so we took a trip to their village and trusting, first of all, two things for accommodation. We had no idea where we were going to stay, and to find the chief of the village, because you need to honor the right people so that you have favor in that area. So God did all of that. We found the chief of the village, and we were sitting on tiled floor, and I've never felt God's presence and just peace. And so the translator was speaking to the chief, and he was just smiling, and he said to us, yes, I want you to come permanently, and I'll give you a house. So we were like, what? God just did that. And so us going into the community, to give you a little bit of what we do, we don't just go in and we tell them about Jesus, this is what you're doing wrong, you need to change. No, that's not our heart. It's through relationship first. So we have formed a curriculum of a lesson of an hour and 20 minutes where we take the fruits of the Spirit and we form a lesson around that. And I won't go into those details. If you want to know more, I can tell you personally. And then we reach them through that. And then as we feel and we sense the Holy Spirit, we then bring in the gospel. And so we did. We reached about 300 people up the mountain. And when we were ministering to them, the locals, some of them were like, what's going to happen? How are they going to receive this? And they received it because we have a program called Storybooks. And it's in their language, in Bahasa, that is from the beginning to the end of the Bible. And it's in cartoon. And these children were able to actually watch it and hear the gospel for the first time. So our goal and our focus is within Bali. We are wanting to actually teach the moms a skill so that they can go back to their village, the children can go back to school, and we will help them with that skill so that they can sell what they're making. And that's going to take years and lots of strategy from Jesus. So that's what we're doing in Bali. And then the last 6 months of the year, we went to India, Nepal, and Myanmar, where we have homes. You would know it as orphanages. We like to call them homes because they run like homes. The kids are there, and you would never tell, you can't tell the difference between the parent homes and their biological children. You can't tell the difference because it's run like a home. And that's the beautiful thing. And so in Nepal, we have a children's home of 10 boys. And then in India, we've got a children's home of 45 boys. And then in Myanmar, we've got a children's home as well, two of them. So when we go there, our heart is to empower, to blow wind into their sails, into the staff. And also what's important to us is when we go, we don't start something new. We go and partner with existing programs that they're doing, like Into the Slums area. There are photos now, Into the Slums area, and doing what they're doing. So then when we leave, they don't fall apart, if you understand what I'm saying. They're still going. And so, yes. And so that is basically what Wings is all about.
A very gospel-centered work and a very practical way of taking the gospel into the nations. Chantal, we've chatted, Chantal and I, and catching up while she's been home, and there are just so many stories of God at work, healing, salvation. I said, Chantal, we are just not going to be able to tell everybody this. So I said, you just got to pick one, you know, and so, yeah, maybe just one little story of just the way that God's been moving, and He is amazing God. He's doing amazing things.
Okay, so the mothers, we call them ibus. So there was one ibu who was with her children on a Wednesday night in Bali, and I didn't know her medical history, and so I just knew she had pain in her stomach, and so I prayed for her, and then you carry on. Months go by, she came back, and she was speaking to one of my colleagues, Becca, and she said, that girl prayed for me, and I believe in your Jesus, because your God healed me. And she basically gave her life to God. And she comes from a Hindu background. And the amazing thing there, she was going to hospitals, going to doctors, and they couldn't do anything. But Jesus met with her. And the amazing thing as well, for me, what I learned about Jesus there is that I didn't feel anything spiritual. I just knew what I could do and what I needed to do and trust in God, and He did the rest. Yeah, so that's an amazing testimony.
It's so powerful, yes. When we just act in obedience, and God is who He says He is, yes. And we get to partner with Him, it's just brilliant. What have you learned, Chantal, just in this season of your life? Perhaps before we go to that question, firstly, the conditions are quite challenging, and the places you're staying, of course, all on quite a low budget. What would you say motivates you to continue with this work, that you would go back now and continue with that?
Good question. So for me, what stands out to me is that God has given me a gift, right? And He has gifts for all of us. And He's been unconditional love. He's patience with me. He's forgiveness with me. And He's mercy and grace. And once you know He's given you a gift and you've received that invitation and received the gift, and you go to a nation and you know they don't know anything about it. They don't know anything about this gift of salvation, of forgiveness, of freedom and peace. So when you see that and you see a nation that they're living like that, you can only but be like, I have something to give you, and that is Jesus. And so in that time that I've been in Bali, God has also spoken to me, like He said to me, Chantal, how far are you willing to go? That happened when we went up the mountain into the community. And I was like, God, these are your people. You love them. And how will they know that unless we don't go and tell them? So that is something that motivated me. And the last thing that I want to share is that every Friday we have a time where we just pray. And God gave me a picture of a very, if you think of the Pirates of the Caribbean, like it was a very, very old cage. Massive, and there were a lot of bodies inside, and it was very rustic and really old, and there was an old chain and a lock, and God gave me a key to open that lock. And as I was saying this, my leader of the team, she saw locks on a table, and God said to her that He's going to give us keys to not only unlock individuals or families, but villages, people that have been under bondage for years, generational curses of fear, and just, that he was going to give us those keys. So that was amazing for me because that was his strategy and that's him saying it and he's going to do it. Yes. And we're just there to be available and to be like, yes, we'll do this with you, Jesus.
So true. When we put our faith to work and we act in obedience to what God calls us to, he always grows us. When we go, we grow. We've heard that saying a lot in this church. But the truth is the way we grow is through God revealing more of himself to us through different circumstances and seasons in our life. And so that brings me to the question, Chantel, just in this particular season of your life, in the last 2 years, if we could say that, what have you learned about God in that time?
So 3 things stand out to me. The first thing was when I arrived in Bali, it wasn't that easy for me personally because I'd said goodbye to a 9-to-5 job, the security of getting a salary. And I did. I was a bit sensitive to the situation. And then my leader actually said to me, Chantel, it's because you are walking on water for the first time. And when you're walking on water, you can only look up. If you look down and you look at your situations, you're going to sink. You need to look up. And that just settled that in my heart. And then the other 2 things.
Sorry.
I was taking my laundry to the laundromat. I was walking down the road and I was talking to Jesus. And I said to him, Jesus, why is it that even in my life and my friends' lives, why is it that no matter how long we've known you or we've just come to know you, there's always a period in our relationship with Jesus where if we don't feel him, we feel like he doesn't love us. He's not there. And he spoke to me and he said to me, if my children would just bridge that gap with the truth of my truth, then they would run faster and they would continue running until I come back. So I started searching what were the lies that we believe. And the 3 things that came to me was, Jesus doesn't hear my prayers, Jesus doesn't love me, and Jesus is not with me. And those are the three lies that I know Satan's tried to kill, steal, and rob from me, my relationship with Jesus. And if we just had to believe for every lie, Jesus doesn't love me, Jesus loves you. Jesus is not with you, Jesus is with you. Jesus doesn't hear my prayers, he hears my prayers. And to just be that truth to be solidified in you, you would run faster with the Lord. And through that, I've been able to now come up with messages for the kids and dramas to be able to teach them about how to protect your heart from the lies of Satan. So, and then the last one was prayer. I asked Jesus, I said to him, what does it mean to pray in faith? And he said to me, to pray in faith means to pray my divine will into the situation. And by doing that, you remove yourself, what you want in that situation, and you are praying what God wants. So for instance, in marriages, on divorce, in domestic abuse, God doesn't want those things. We know that in the word, that's not his heart. Mm. So when we see these situations, even in Bali, for instance, God wants freedom. God wants redemption. Yes. God wants healing. So pray those specific things because you know when you're praying his will, you are praying with faith because you know he can only do it, not you. So those are the 3 things that that God has really spoken to me last year and has really just solidified a lot of things in my life.
Wonderful. Perhaps we can just backtrack a little bit and chat about the process before leaving South Africa and before answering the call in that specific form. Just you were a member of a local church, of a local community, and in that process you heard God's voice calling you to Asia. What would you say the benefit of belonging to a local church community in that time of decision-making? What was the benefit for you?
So Bay City plays a big role in that, very much in my story. I would say when I started searching and thinking what comes next and I wanted to go overseas, it was something that I didn't just want to pack my bags and do on my own and do my own thing. What I valued was to have Nick and Shelley, to have my cell group, to have those who were closest to me in this church, to have their blessing and to be praying with me. So it was immediately a thing of I need to take this to them because I don't want to be going on my own. I want God to speak through them and also to have their blessing. And I remember in that time, actually, I wanted to go to South Korea to go and teach. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting. And one Sunday, God spoke to Nick, and he came to me out of obedience and said, I just feel with caution. I'm not telling you not to go, Chantel, but I just feel I don't have peace about South Korea. And that was so important for me to actually hear, because that made me go to God with that. Lord, now what? You spoke to Nick. I value what you have spoken through him, because I see you speaking through Nick, not man. It's you that's talking. What do I do now? And all I heard from God, which I needed, he said to me, you can do this. He didn't tell me, no, you're not going to South Korea, you're going to Hong Kong. No, he just said, you can do this. And that was important for me for what was going to come, because then I knew he was in that. Mm. So, yes.
So again, partnership. We partner in the gospel together. The second question around this process, and perhaps this is where we'll draw to a close, but what is the main thing that you learned while you were in a local community, a local body of Christ, that you actually carry with you today? What are some of the lessons that God wrote on your heart that you're able actually to live out today?
So this was a very easy question to answer, because it's something that I've seen consistently in my family, which is you guys, basically. Something that has always stood out to me is that no matter where you are in leadership in this family, everybody's doing the serving. Doesn't matter if you're an elder or a deacon, you are packing the cups, you are sweeping the floor, you are serving. And that's God's heart. And that's something that's always touched me, because my heart is to serve well and serve to the very end until Jesus comes back. Why? To please him, not man, but to please him. So that's something that I've taken with me still today. And acceptance. I feel like this is a home that gives you space to be yourself, even to wobble a bit, to fall a bit, graze your knee, but they help you to get up again, and to encourage you to put your eyes on Jesus and walk that road with you. So it's taught me what it means to have grace and mercy towards others, and patience and acceptance, and allowing people to grow in their relationship with God, not at your speed or what you want for them, but what God is doing in them, and to just partner with them and be a sister or a mother figure to them as God would want you to be. So that's something that I take with me.
There was a moment when Chantal and I were just discussing some of what we're talking about today. And we both got quite choked up, because we just were looking back at some of the journey that God has brought us through, and looking forward with excitement for what is yet to come. And just this incredible gratitude that we are not called to walk alone, that we get to share in one another's joys, and we get to strengthen one another in the struggles. And so, Chantal, it really has been an incredible joy to see you answer this call of God and the giftings that God has placed in you that we saw in so many forms in this environment that you've been able to take with you, and God is using with the children in those countries. We just see how God chooses the ingredients that he gives us, and then he chooses the environments that he wants us to express them in. And so the obedience that we answer with really determines the sphere of influence that we will have for the kingdom. So it's a joy. It is a joy to see you walk in this call, friend. And we are right behind you. We are backing you. So is Jesus. And friends, we are all called to extend the kingdom. That is our purpose. We are all ministers of the gospel. Not all of us would be full-time missionaries in Bali, it would be fair to say, but all of us as Christ followers who have the life of Christ in us are called to impact this world for him and to share that life and that love. Romans 1 verse 16, it says, I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his eyes. This is accomplished from start to finish through faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. And so God wants to bring you and I into partnership with him to take that very life that he gives us at salvation and to let others taste of it, to let others find freedom, others find hope, others find wholeness in Jesus Christ. So thanks, Chantal, for sharing this story with us. And just, yeah, we know it's not done yet. There are many chapters to come, but there's things that we can really glean from that and learn from that and be encouraged that God wants to use each one of us in the sphere of influence he's given us.